Harman Miksha
and Sophia Miksha,
your hosts of Seeds of Sunshine, a mother-daughter multi-generational podcast filled with laughter, wisdom, and advice.
I am a high school student in the Ivy program, a runner, and a sister.
I have a BA and MA degree in English and have published 3 poetry books, a tennis book, and 2 essay anthologies, which you can find on Amazon or my website, carmenmiksabooks.com. I am also the broker CEO of Dynamic Real Estate, my own company. To buy or sell a home with me, please visit my website, dynamicsacramentohomes.com, and mention this podcast for a discount on commission.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We promise you Seeds of Sunshine once a week to elevate your lives and dreams through better communication between generations.
Aviation pioneer and author Mary Bush Shipko was one of the first women airline pilots in the country. She began her flying career in 1964 in South Florida. She was hired in May of 1976 as the first woman airline pilot for Hughes Air West, owned by the colorful aviator and movie producer Howard Hughes. Mary received her airline transport rating and DC-3 type rating in November of 1974. She also holds a courtesy 46 type rating. She has written 3 books, her popular memoir, Aviatrix, her children's book, Daring Mary Aviation Pioneer, and her newest book for ages 12 and up, The First Woman Pilots and How They Changed the Airlines, a STEM book. Mary plays second violin in a community orchestra in Virginia. She is also a member of America's Boating Club and the education officer of her local club. Today, she speaks around the country, inspiring young women to become airline pilots.
Welcome to Seeds of Sunshine, dear Mary. We are deeply honored and happy to have you on season 2 of our Seeds of Sunshine, a mother-daughter podcast. And how are you today?
Just great. And I'm excited to be on Seeds of Sunshine. So thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome, Mary. And before diving into our inspiring and fun conversation, we would like to start our episode, as always, with a quote and a joke. And the quote is by Leonardo da Vinci, Mary. He said, "Once you have tasted flight, you will forever walk the earth with your eyes turned skyward, for there you have been, and there you will always long to return."
Terrific.
Yes, yes. And then the joke, it's also connected to our conversation. It's actually a pun. Let's see if you get the answer. What do you call Harry Potter in a plane?
I don't know.
You call him the flying sorcerer.
Oh, that's really good.
Yes, yes, Mary. And I'm just so excited that we connected, because my daughter and I, Sophia and I, met you in Honolulu inside the mall, and we started striking up a conversation. And I was like, wow, Mary is perfect to be a guest on our show. And my friends always joke with me. They say, oh, Carmen will go someplace and then she'll get like 10, 15 guests for her new podcast when she's making new friends. And it is just so powerful to honestly talk to strangers. We have been conditioned, you know, to just mind our own business, but I always find fascinating to meet new people and to just ask them what they're doing.
Yes, and you were friendly. That's why we started talking, because you were friendly and I was friendly back.
That's right, Mary. And Sophia is at school, but her very favorite question for our guests is about their childhood. So why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about your childhood and what memorable lessons you learned from your parents?
All right. Well, I grew up in an aviation family in South Florida. My dad was a small business owner. He owned a small airport. It had a grass strip and a hangar and an area for airplanes to tie down. They were, back then in the 50s and 60s, they would have been mostly single engine airplanes that would visit his small grass strip. And he did many kinds of services. He worked on planes. He gave flight lessons. He would take people in his small airplane to local destinations. And the Bahamas was a very popular destination. So there were six of us kids. And after school and on weekends, we spent quite a bit of time at the airport. I think he was giving my mom a break. So eventually the county did ask him to move over to the main airport because his airport was a little bit in the flight path of some of the runways at the bigger airport. So he moved his business over there, and that's Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International. He always said that he named the airport because the county commission wanted to call it Broward County Airport. And my dad said, well, no one knows where that is. He suggested the name it is today. And when each of us kids became old enough, my dad would teach us. He would give us some flight lessons. So here's a lesson I learned from my dad. My dad was a polio survivor. They had a polio epidemic in 1916 when he was just three. And he had to wear leg braces and he had a wheelchair. And the doctors told his parents he would never walk again. But with the leg braces, he ran all over the farm fields chasing after his brothers and cousins. And soon he threw away the leg braces and the wheelchair. So then he had a full career as a business owner and a pilot. So from my dad, I learned determination and to never give up.
Oh my gosh, Mary, what a wonderful story. It made me think of Forrest Gump. You know how he runs and his braces fall off?
Yeah. So my dad walked with a limp his whole life. And one time my nephew, who was about six, was dragging his leg behind him. And his mother said, don't do that. No one walks like that. And he said, Grandpa does.
Aww. Yes. And as we said in our introduction, Mary, you are an aviation pioneer. So why don't you tell us, obviously this story is very clear why you became an airplane pilot, and not just an airplane pilot, but you were the first woman for Hughes Air West, the first woman pilot. So why don't you tell us what was behind your decision to embrace this career?
Okay. So I did want to say also that my father believed girls were just as smart as boys, and it was the opportunity that made the defining factor. And that was quite revolutionary in the 60s to think like that. So from a very young age, when my older brothers talked about being an airline pilot, I wanted to be one too. But back then there were no women airline pilots. And my brothers assured me I could not be one. But my dad gave me flying lessons when I was 16. And this goes along with your quote, which I didn't know what your quote was at the time, but it's easy to love flying, especially when you're just 16. And it's just such a thrill to get in the airplane and to shove the power levers up and to roar down the runway, no speed limit. And as you pull up away from Earth, all your cares stay on the ground and you are free. It was one of the highlights of my week to take a flying lesson. Flying uses almost every aptitude a human being has: physical skill, emotional control, three-dimensional problem solving. That's really what makes flying so much fun. Because when you work all of that out and you have a successful flight, Well, it's a big confidence booster. And it was natural to want to be an airline pilot since it was the best paid flying job at the time.
Wonderful, Mary. And so after you became a pilot, you learned so much in the field, I'm sure that now you look back and you have many lessons to share with other women who might have the same dream of becoming a pilot.
Yes. So I learned that having an extensive background to draw upon is very useful. So I would recommend, if you're at all interested in flying, to start reading now. You can start reading when you're in elementary school. You can read biographies or memoirs or history books. When you get a little older, you can read technical books. Having that background, and ask your parents to take you out to the airport on the weekends. Developing a background will make learning to fly and being in the business much more enjoyable. And then also a mentor is invaluable. So I would tell them to get a mentor. And today there are many organizations that have mentors, and as well as scholarships and other supportive resources. So I would say, I'm going to mention those in a few minutes, and I would say to contact one of those organizations and become a member.
Wonderful, Mary. And I'm going to get the whole list from you, and I'm going to attach them to our show notes. That way, when we're live, people can go there. And you mentioned something very important about reading. I'm a huge believer that anytime we're interested in something, reading can get us there. And you also talk about memoir. So why don't we actually talk about your own memoir? Tell us the title and tell us why did you choose to write it and some of the wisdom that you impart with your readers.
Okay. So my memoir is my true story, and I wrote it to share and inspire others. Really, so people would know what it was like back then, because we've had a real culture change in the last 50 years. And people may not realize how difficult it was back then. Well, the first half of it is about flying in Florida, where I grew up. And our main flight used to go around the Caribbean basin, both into the Bahamas and then all of the islands, and then South and Central America. And there was a lot of adventures back then. We did a lot of dead reckoning back in the 60s and 70s. I would say navigation aids were fairly primitive. So it was a lot of flying by the seat of your pants. And the second half of the book is about really realizing my dream and becoming an airline pilot. And then I do have some later chapters on what I learned from the experience. And one reviewer said of my book, it's a pioneering pilot story of breaking gender barriers, fighting discrimination, and making peace with her experience. A unique, engaging memoir balancing personal story with broader social themes.
That is wonderful. And the title of your memoir is Aviatrix, right?
Yeah, Aviatrix. Hughes Air West first woman pilot, but you can just find it with Aviatrix.
Okay.
It's on Amazon.
Right, right. And you also chose to write children's books also about flying and about being bold and daring. Tell us a little bit about your children's book.
So my children's book actually grew out when I would go to a lot of events. People would ask me if I had a kid's book. So I had to think a long time on how to condense my memoir down to my children's book. And so I finally did just the turning points in my flying career leading up to being hired as an airline pilot. So the name of it is Daring Mary, Aviation Pioneer, and it's beautifully illustrated with many of the planes that I flew during my formative pilot years. And it also has a wonderful appendix for anyone that wants to be an airline pilot. It has the pathways, the different pathways. There's about six of them where you can become it, where you can get your education and experience to become an airline pilot. And then it has another appendix with tips that would help you to prepare today.
Wow, that's really outstanding, Mary. And I love that you did that, because that way you can really, we're a multi-generational podcast and you are able to speak across generations.
Good. And I have two reviews from young women. I really enjoyed reading this book. As a young girl, I loved learning the story of a brave woman who has done big things. Go, Mary. That's McKenna. She's age 14. Uh-huh. Then I have another one. This book was great. I loved reading about Mary's strengths and bravery. I hope I can accomplish things like her when I grow up. That's Emery, age 10.
Wow, Mary, it's just so important to influence the young generation and to inspire, you know, people from all over the world and young girls from all over the world to dream big, to, you know, spread their wings as wide as possible.
Yeah. So I have one more book. Would you like me to tell you about it?
Yes, please.
So my other book is The Firsts, Women Pilots and How They Changed the Airlines. It's written for anywhere from high school on up. It's kind of general audience. I wrote it to both celebrate and inspire. It celebrates the early pioneers and inspires young women to become airline pilots. There have been so many wonderful changes over the last 50 years in the airline industry. I wanted to let people know it's nothing like when I first went to the airline. There is more acceptance. When I went to the airline, there was very little acceptance. And before I went to the airline, it was very hard to get work. I would get up at the break of dawn and drive around the airport looking for work. And I was almost always told, no, we didn't need any pilots today. But one day my luck finally changed, and that was my big break. After that, I could get enough experience to be have enough qualifications for the airline. So that was really good. But it's just a wonderful job for a young woman today if they want to be an airline pilot.
Oh, yes, Mary. And I love how you persevered, because in those times, as you just mentioned, most of the times the answer was no, we don't need anyone. And especially we don't need a woman pilot, right?
Yeah, sometimes they said that, because there weren't really any laws against people saying what they wanted to say back then. So yeah, sometimes they did say that. But I would tell young women today, it's like I said, there's been so many changes. Our whole culture has changed. But I would tell them that being an airline pilot is a fascinating and rewarding career. It is a unique combination of adventure and technical expertise. It has very high job satisfaction. And as I mentioned before, it's really fun, because uses so many of our aptitude. It's a challenge, but yet when the flight goes well, it's very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mary. I absolutely love this, and I'm inspired myself, but we are towards the end of our episode, and we like to sprinkle seeds of sunshine for our listeners, which is something inspiring or uplifting. So what are your seeds of sunshine, Mary?
Well, I would like to share two skills that I have found invaluable for happiness, and that is personal responsibility and self-awareness. They are very powerful skills that help you create the life you want. They will put you in charge of your own life. You can't blame others. You can't be sad or when you face defeat or rejection. You just reassess and make another plan. And you follow through with the things you say you will do. Now, to develop these skills, you could start when you have a conflict by asking yourself, what can I do in this situation to have a better outcome? You can stop and think. And then you must consider all parties involved. And that's where self-awareness comes in, because they help you assess the situation correctly. And to develop that, here's a few skills. Know your strengths and weaknesses, and be humble enough to apologize if you're wrong. That's sometimes the hardest thing to do for people. And also to challenge yourself to be the best you can be. And this will get you started, and you can find lots of articles and books, but don't forget them: personal responsibility and self-awareness.
Love them, Mary. I'm a huge believer in both of them. And also, how can listeners get a hold on you, purchase your books, and if you're on social media, how can they find you, Mary?
So all of my books are on Amazon, and my personal email is in the back of all of my books. And on Twitter, I'm under Aviatrix. And they can contact me on Twitter. So I think that's enough.
Yes, Mary. Oh, this was such a wonderful conversation. I'm so glad that we met in Honolulu where we were vacationing. And I wish you, Mary, the very best. And I wish you to keep on shining. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed chatting with you. And it was wonderful chatting with you in Honolulu.
Thank you, Mary. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.
To contribute and support our podcast, please become a subscriber or use the Ko-fi app, which you can find in our show notes. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks so much for listening, sharing, and reviewing our podcast. To connect, please follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Carmen Mixa and Carmen Seeds of Sunshine on Instagram. Thanks so much. Goodbye for now.